Welcome to Sports Business Secrets. I'm your host, Kevin Tarka. This podcast is specifically designed to share secrets from experts in the sports business world to help you along your own path to success in this industry. Each episode is packed with lessons and insights that never expire. You'll hear from general managers of professional teams to CEOs of sports tech companies to agents, coaches, players, and everything in between. I invite you to join me in real time on my personal journey of representing players and coaches, traveling the world, and always finding a way to battle through obstacles in this competitive industry. Happy Thursday from Atlantic City, my friends. This is your weekly, or I guess sometimes bi-weekly, or potentially monthly update, depending on where I am in the world and how busy things get, on giving you a front row view to a day in the life of running an agency and being as transparent as possible as I try to survive the craziness in the sports business industry. So as I mentioned, I am in Atlantic City for the week and hopefully through the end of the weekend. It's a great spot to watch some college hoops here as March Madness really gets into the thick of it, get some work done and watch my Quinnipiac Bobcats try to make history. They played last night in the quarterfinals of the Metro Atlantic Conference, Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, MAAC, and they looked great. They took it to Canisius, and then they're gearing up for a semifinal game tomorrow, which will be against the winner of Rider and St. Peter's. So I'm definitely excited for that. And then the MAC Championship will be on Saturday. So hopefully I'm here throughout the weekend. Some KTA updates for you. This afternoon I watched a couple games here, or watched one, and I'm currently watching another KTA client. Donovan Smith is, for those who are new here, he's playing for Pristina in Kosovo. So they play in the first division in Kosovo and in the Balkan League, which is an international competition, and it has teams from Cyprus, Kosovo, and Montenegro this year. I think that's it. And in the past, they had some teams from Bulgaria, Macedonia, even Israel one year. But another international competition. So they had a Balkan League game today. They got a W. And Donovan is he's continuing to prove he's one of the most skilled and versatile big men in the game. Obviously, it's biased because I represent him. But as I've stated for several years now, his target, or let's say one of the targets, as we're obviously open to all opportunities, are the best fit, but one of the main targets is Asia. I truly believe that, he will thrive in the Asian markets. He just has the size, the skill set, the versatility as a big who can run the floor and shoot the three and pick and pop and defend the rim. That's still the plan. That will likely happen again this summer. Probably China NBL, who has expressed interest, teams from there. And then into next season will hopefully be the year that we jump into the Japanese or Korean markets, open to Taiwan and the Philippines, if it's the right fit and it's a situation that I trust. And then just speaking it into existence, he will be playing in the EASL in the future. So proud of his growth. And I'm actually right now watching Jaimin Henson's game. It's halftime right now. For those who are new here, he's playing in the KLS of Serbia. And it's halftime. He had 14 in the first half against Spartak, who is in second place in the KLS currently. Spartak also plays in the Adriatic second division, ABBA 2. So it would be a great win, down a couple points here at halftime, as Jaimin and Sloboda are still making a push to qualify for playoffs. They're in fifth place right now. They're 7-2 or 8-2 since he's been there, which has been great. So he's obviously making a push to prove that, he's a skilled combo guard that can play the two, the three, the one, any combination of that, and provide the leadership on and off the court to help a team win. So proud of him for playing that role as well. In terms of KTA recruiting, this is the time of year, and just some transparency into the agency world that gets interesting. Recruiting gets competitive, right? And agencies obviously often recruit the same kids, and then kids have to make a decision. And agencies also go through a stage where they look to expand or partner or hire other agents or acquire companies, right? And as I've stated from literally day one of this podcast, I've always been open-minded. I've been having some more chats with some other agencies, as I usually do. Don't forget, I didn't start Creation Talent Agency because I had all my shit together and I got hand-delivered an MBA client. And no, I started because no one gave me a chance. And I've used that as fuel and as a chip on my shoulder to survive, right? And to build and to grow and to, you have to eat what you kill. And you know, I think I've learned a lot quicker and built a lot more relationships and hustled a little bit harder than if I were to have been given, an easier opportunity. Again, not to say it's a right or wrong path. It's just happened to be the cards that I was dealt and I ran with it. So again, you know, I've had a few conversations and again, transparently, they typically go the same way. And this is just from my experience from boutique agents, right? You know, it's hey, you seem like you're doing a good job. You got a lot of clients. You got a lot of relationships abroad. You spend a lot of time, in various markets. And let's talk about working together, which is always great. I'm always excited to have that conversation. But the business model, and I understand why, because it's difficult. But then comes the money talk, and it's like, well, yeah. Let's just say there's never an offer. And unfortunately, I have bills to pay, as do many of my listeners. I'm sure all of you. So working for free is sometimes, but not always. And especially for me right now in the stage that I'm at and what I've accomplished so far, it is not in the cards for me. I would love to get involved with and partner with another agency or work with another agency or, you know, find somewhere that wants to take me in and where I could learn under other agents who have accomplished things I have not accomplished. But yeah, you know, that has to be the right fit. And I always say the math in this industry doesn't work. And so it's going to have to be someone that believes in me, right? And that's just at the end of the day, believes in me and not just say that, but you know, there has to be an opportunity to where it makes sense financially to, you know, and I'm just saying, generally speaking, there should be either a salary or expenses paid or a combination of both. And for me personally, it needs to be someone that really wants me to help grow with them, not for them. And that's a big difference. So again, always transparent about that. In the meantime, I'm focused on my guys, taking it one day at a time, representing them and supporting them the best way that I could. And then we'll go from there. You know, so recruiting right now, I have a few feelers out there, have a lot of conversations with people that reach out to me or coaches that reach out to me and recommend players. Oftentimes, again, transparently, it's difficult because if players are reaching out to agents, it doesn't mean they're bad at basketball, but it means that, you know, certain market demand is there or lack thereof. And it typically means it's going to take a long time for that player to get a job or make good money, which in turn means, you know, making a percentage of that as revenue from the agent side is difficult, right? So it has to be the right type of guys. And I try to help as many people as I can, but I do have a few targets that will be heavily recruited by some of the big boy agencies, but you can't make the shots that you decide not to take. So I'm as always taking that one day at a time as well. So to wrap up here, I like to keep these under 10-15 minutes, these quick ones. I just want to share a couple of topics that are involved in the day-to-day that I've been trying to stay on top of, obviously, that have an impact on this industry. So NIL, of course, this is ever changing from the Tennessee case, which, if you're unfamiliar, the Tennessee case essentially resulted in NCAA's one of their latest losses in court, and the Tennessee judge ruled that the NCAA cannot enforce rules that prohibit athletes from negotiating and signing deals with donor-funded NIL collectives before they enroll at college, which, again, that just means legit free agency. Whether you're a high school recruit or you're in the transfer portal, you get to have a conversation with a collective who's supported by donor-funded money that shares your free, your free market value, right? Then the portal is another topic. It's kind of one and the same with NIL, right? Because those who are going in the portal, or the majority of which, are going in to try to test their free market value, and find a place where they can capitalize on that, and rightfully so. Not always, but sometimes if it's fit or if a coach gets fired or somebody needs to transfer, they go in there or, you know, some other reasons, but most of them are because they want to find their true market value and they want to try to capitalize on this opportunity, this new opportunity in college sports, where they can, you know, make some money and get compensated for being good at basketball and having, eyeballs on them and having an audience. So, another topic, so some global news here, which I'll end with. So both in the Asian markets and European markets, so East Asia Super League just wrapped up season two, which is a market I talk about a lot. Obviously have been spending more time there lately in the past 2 years, in Japan and Hong Kong and Philippines and so on. But they wrapped up season two, and the first ever, so this season two is the first ever full season of a home and away matchup series, and then resulting in a Final Four, which is in Cebu, in the Philippines, which I was hoping to get to. Unfortunately, didn't. It just wasn't in the cards for me this year. But it looked amazing. They did a great job, and the Chiba Jets from Japan took home the trophy. So that just continues to prove to me why Asian markets are a hot place to go if you're a player, or if you're a coach, or if you're an agent. For the most part, you have economies that are in a better position than most economies in Europe in terms of sports business, in terms of basketball. You have operations and structure that's more sustainable. Again, for the most part, I mean, I can name clubs in Europe that I would send a client to 50 times over before sending to another club in Asia, and vice versa. But generally speaking, from an economy standpoint, it's an exciting time in Asia. And then back to Europe. So speaking of Europe, the EuroLeague is gearing up for some really powerful news here. One is the official extension of Pauliis Motiejunas as the EuroLeague CEO, which I'm very excited for. I'm very happy for him. I mentioned, you can circle back to my episode when I was in Barcelona earlier in the year. Got a chance to sit down and catch up with Pauliis, and I know he's been limited in terms of what he can get done because he was on a 1 year deal as the CEO of the EuroLeague. It's tough. It's a tough job. It's a tough job to have, and only being there for a short amount of time, it's difficult. So now he's extended to, I think he's extended 4 years, which gives him time and hopefully resources to implement some serious changes. So very, very happy for him. Speaking of serious changes, the Euro Cup and Basketball Champions League, that's one topic here that are realistically, in my opinion, going to merge. I know there were some articles talking about what to do with FIBA Europe Cup, Basketball Champions League, Euro Cup, and then the Euro League. There's just so many competitions, and it's just almost too oversaturated. So potentially those middle two combining, one's run by the Euro League, one's run by FIBA. And then the last piece of news, the biggest piece, is the addition of a team from Dubai that is hoping to join the Euro League and the Adriatic League. Now, I'm not going to do a deep dive on this topic until things are made official. There's really no need to speculate, but what the deal is going to include when finalized is a major and much needed injection of cash in the realm of like 75 million euros, or honestly, probably more. It broken down in different parts. Part of that's going to be for the rights to host the EuroLeague Final Four in Abu Dhabi. Part of that's going to be for I don't know, this team to be there for a certain amount of years. Part of that's going to be for that money being given to each team in the EuroLeague for roster and operational and travel and other increased expenses, hopefully to be managed properly and hire more staff and become more sustainable. But personally, I think it's inevitable. I've mentioned this on the podcast before because of the commercial value, right? The same way the NBA said, let's go worldwide, back when David Stern was there, right? Let's get into the European markets with junior NBA. Let's get in, let's start building NBA academies around the world and having a presence in China with broadcasting. If you're the leader of a company that has the chance to expand the brand worldwide and drastically increase the revenue streams to make the league bigger, stronger, more sustainable, you have to have that conversation. Now, who that is with, where the money comes from, and other implications around that, those are the asterisk points and that are variables in part of the conversation, but that's for another day. The point is, it's looking like that this is going to happen very soon. Maybe this team's going to have to play in the Adriatic League and or I don't know, maybe in Euro Cup in order to prove that they're real and they're not just tossing millions and millions of dollars just to get a spot there. Maybe they play 1 year there and prove that they can put together a team good enough to compete and be professional enough and then win and then earn their way into the EuroLeague. Or maybe, who knows, they just decide to throw in several more millions of dollars, which obviously money is no object there. It's clearly, as you've seen in golf and football, or as us American calls it, call it soccer. Yeah, money is not few and far between. They have plenty of it there. So, you know, exciting time for the global expansion of basketball, the craziness of NIL and college sports, and everything in between. So thanks for tuning in. We will see you back here tomorrow. Thanks again for listening, my friends. If you enjoyed the episode, or if it brought you any value at all, it would mean the world to me if you could give it a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. If you share it on social media, make sure you tag me at Kevin Tarka. If there are any topics that you want me to dive into or any guests you'd love for me to have on the show, just shoot me a message and I will do my best to make it happen. Have an amazing day and hope to see you back here soon.